Good afternoon, people of Seattle and other places. It's just after 4:30 p.m. in Seattle, Washington, Pacific Standard Time, here on Friday, January the 24th, 2020. I'm just drinking cocoa. Yeah, I'm drinking some cocoa that's probably made of corn. I'm just drinking some cocoa that probably contains some type of a pig virus. Yes, I'm just drinking my cocoa here in Seattle. Just drinking cocoa. Just drinking cocoa in Seattle. That's great, isn't it? Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. The article I'm about to read, or at least the bulk of it, comes from Zero Hedge. It was published today at around 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Headline, Whole Neighborhoods Destroyed. Whole neighborhoods completely destroyed. Whole neighborhoods destroyed in Houston plant explosion, colon, multiple fatalities. Still one missing. Houston was rocked by a large explosion in the early dark hours of Friday morning, which could be felt for miles across the city when a manufacturing facility in the northwest erupted in a massive fireball. Houston police have confirmed that at least two people died in the blast, with one plant employee still missing. And a criminal investigation is underway as to the cause, though there is no evidence thus far to suggest an intentional act or terrorism was involved. Well, that's good news. Damage to homes was reported up to a half a mile away after it occurred at about 4:15 a.m., some 18 miles away from the downtown area, though people reported being jolted from their sleep for miles across the city. Later in the morning Friday, multiple people were reported hospitalized and others may still be missing. And I quote, "We have no evidence at this point that an intentional act is involved. Having said that, part of our protocol is always to start a criminal investigation," Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo said, who also ruled out terrorism, quote, "It's going to take days, if not weeks or months, to get to the final determination what's going on here." Well, that's funny because, and this is where I'm going to stop reading, because we need to fucking meditate on what our good fucking friend Chief Art just said. In fact, I'm going to stop fucking here. You can read the rest of this article yourself because, hey, reading is fundamental. Think about what our good friend Chief Art just said. It could take weeks or months to figure out what caused this. Okay? This did not involve three of the most advanced high-rise buildings ever built. No, no, no. This involves some shitty-ass industrial area in up-the-butt-fuck-nowhere Houston. And good old fucking Chief Art said it could take weeks or months to figure out what happened. Now, you remember 9/11? You remember 9/11? It seems like 15 fucking minutes after the first plane hit the first building, they had an idea of who did it. And then by the end of the day, we were certain it was Al-Qaeda. And then, holy shit, we were so fucking certain we started melting down the evidence because, hey, we were fucking certain. Yeah. Good old fucking Chief Art. You just got to the fucking nub of it, didn't you? Didn't you, good old Chief Art? So, yeah, I don't know what to tell you about this Houston explosion, but having read that quote, it kind of struck me, fuck. I'm not saying what happened is simple, but please, please meditate on this. Three of the most advanced buildings ever built out of steel and concrete in the 20th century were destroyed on 9/11/2001. Three. Not one, not two, but three. They all basically collapsed in the same way. Building 1 and 2 World Trade Center collapsing, you know, right about the same time. And Building 7 collapsing, what, 6-7 hours later? Wow, that was weird, wasn't it? But on the first day of 9/11, we were told exactly who did it, Chief Art. Chief Art, you know, they knew 13 seconds before it happened. They knew after, they knew. And yet our good friend Chief Art is telling us there's no way to know for weeks or months. Fuck, imagine if we'd taken weeks or months to meditate on, you know, attacking and invading Afghanistan instead of just going and doing it. Like, imagine if we'd taken at least 2 or 3 months, maybe 6 months, to decide who was actually responsible. But no, on 9/11, we instantly fucking knew, Chief Art. We instantly knew. Holy fuck. That's one way to look at this little article, folks. That quote from Chief Art says a lot, okay? You're left with either Chief Art stupid, really stupid, and therefore all him and his other stupid people, it takes them weeks or months to figure something out, or maybe he's not stupid, and maybe he's describing the situation accurately, and to figure this out might take weeks or months. Yet on 9/11, I say again, we figured that shit out instant-fucking-taneously. Folks, we were all fooled, okay? So if I sound angry, I'm angry at myself, too. We were fooled, and that was a war crime that led to other war crimes, okay? It's not just an issue of one war crime. The United States has committed multiple war crimes because the fruit of the tree is 9/11, and it was as much bullshit as the Reichstag fire or the Gulf of Tonkin incident or half a dozen other things that were done by governments in the history of government to convince people to go murder other people. Frankly, I consider the German army dressing up some German soldiers to look like Polish troops and then having them attack the Germans in 1939 as a kind of bullshit pretext to invade Poland, I consider that more artful, okay, more elegant than the shit that happened on 9/11. The reason why we all believed it is really quite simple. There wasn't one fucking part of us that could have believed that our government would do this. Most of us, I'm not saying all of us, this country had cynics and critics in 2001. But I would contend that most people would have never conceived of our government doing something like that. I could not conceive of it. I knew certain truths. But until that moment, I wouldn't have been able to conceive of it. And because of it, yes, 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 we instantly know, we knew it was Osama bin Laden. It was Al-Qaeda. And please ignore the fact that, you know, basically 10 years later, we were funding them in Syria. We were giving them weapons in Syria. Al-Qaeda was working with special forces in Syria. Please ignore that, because if you think about it, you'll realize how fucking crooked this whole fucking thing is. Crooked as fuck, people. Yes, yes, Art, it takes probably weeks or months to figure this shit out. And why the fuck didn't anybody say that on 9/11? Where was the adult? Where was the person who said, you know what? We're looking at some smoking fucking craters. And as much as it might feel great to instantly know who did it, wouldn't it be great to have a fucking investigation? Oh, yeah, we had one. We had the 9/11 investigation years later, just as successful as the Warren Commission in helping us understand the truth. Yeah, very useful. Very useful whitewash. But no, we never investigated shit. If we had, we would have found the fingerprints of the State of Israel. We would have found the fingerprints of Saudi Arabia, and we would have also found the fingerprints of the CIA. That's the truth about 9/11. Saudi Arabia, the CIA, and Israel. I don't know why they did it for certain. I don't know who specifically was involved, but I would wager right now that there's a 75 to 80% chance that it was Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the CIA. And maybe nobody knew about it. Like, maybe people at the top were oblivious and this was some renegade fucking operation, but I don't think that's true. I think if you read the Project for a New American Century, if you read the actual fucking articles these motherfuckers publish in fucking journals like Foreign Affairs, if you read their own fucking words, they tell you what they want to do. And yet, our good friend Art Acevedo, motherfucker in Houston, tells us it takes weeks or months to figure out what happened today. I find that interesting. Me personally, this is where we're going to switch topics. I don't think it has shit to do with terrorism. As we've discussed in recent months, the great discontinuity, we have discussed the fact that one feature of the great discontinuity is systemic failure. But it's not as simple as, how can I phrase this? It's not as simple as we're going to see some big flashing light. Okay? Like, there's going to be some big flashing light telling us shit is going sideways. No, no, no. Systemic failure at the level of a civilization isn't always that fucking obvious, but it should be a little fucking obvious. Explosions like this, I would expect more of them in the future. I expect more industrial accidents. I don't expect less. It's probably one of the reasons why there's a rush for automation. Because if we keep going the way we're going, if we keep dehumanizing people, they will break. You see, here's the thing about my philosophy. Some of you may listen to me and think, well, Dan's an anarchist because it's a choice. Dan's an anarchist because he would love to be an anarchist. Dan's an anarchist because he thinks it's cool. No, I'm an anarchist because I know something. I know that human beings need liberty as much as they need clean air, clean water, and soil that is clean to grow food. I know that we need liberty. It's not like a want or something nice to have. You take it away from people and they go fucking crazy. This is guaranteed. This isn't an opinion about politics or ideology. It's in our fucking genes. Okay? Slavery can work with us for a while. Slavery can work for a while, but it doesn't work indefinitely. And if we're going to go back to something like the slavery of several thousand years ago, it's going to be hard to get people back in that fucking on that fucking plantation, I think. I think it's going to be hard. I think people are breaking. I think people are falling apart. I think that, you know, the limits of the... Oh, what did Yellen say? What did Yellen say back in 2015, 2016? We have to run. What did she say? We have to run a high-pressure economy. Good old Janet fucking Yellen. Well, let me translate that to you, folks. What she's saying is we have to push the thing to the limit, and if we lose a person here or there, well, the good news is we can get some more Chinese and Indians from overseas. That's the good news. And with this fucking virus shit, I'm sure people will be flooding here. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you folks, but I think that people, a lot of people, ordinary people, are reaching their breaking points. And I think a lot of the systems we use are reaching their breaking points. And I would even contend, given the high-pressure economy that Janet Yellen has recommended, I would contend for several years now, a lot of companies have been using money to buy their own stock instead of, I don't know, fix the fucking pipes at the fucking Houston plant? Shit. I have a choice. I can spend the money on capital expenditures, CapEx, fuck. or I can buy back stock. Oh, that pipe will go another 2 or 3 years. Oh, there's a crack in it? Go get some Formigasket. Yeah, you see, the thing is, folks, when somebody says that corporations have been using money to buy back their stocks, they should think about both sides of that trade. Because it's not as simple as, well, they're going into debt to buy their own stocks. Yeah, that's bad. But what they're also probably doing is neglecting everything that matters. So let's say I had some fucking, I don't know, chemical plant or fucking fuel plant or some type of fucking industrial facility. And my company, well, it has investors and they're telling me they want returns and I can't do it. So what do? Do I take the 10 million bucks I just got from the bank and do I fix things? Do I repair things? Or do I take the $10 million and do I go ahead and buy back my own fucking stock? So yeah, when you look at things like Houston, you need to think beyond the obvious, which is it's terrible and it's a fucking tragedy. And I would expect more of this, irrespective of or regardless of this fucking coronavirus. I would expect more of it. I think people are being treated in a way that they just can't deal with it. And I think that it's invasive and monstrous. And I think this idea that we can keep pushing people to the limit with technology and overloading them without consequences is crazy. It's as possible as not that the machine failed in this case, and it's also possible that the people failed. What is most likely is both are true. Next topic. So yeah, staying on the thread about how we kind of need liberty. It's not really a thing that's nice to have. If you put people in cages, they go crazy. And I don't know, you could say, "What, Dan, what about the history of slavery and all the slaves?" Yes, yes, the human race has a history of having slaves. And it is true, we have a history of being slaves. And maybe you're right. Like, maybe I'm the one that's wrong. Maybe humans just want to be told what the fuck to do. This is the grand question. Do humans thrive in captivity? I don't think they really do. But there are some people who'd argue, but Dan, if we can all just do the same thing at the same time, doesn't that give us great power? And in a way, it does. I'll freely admit that an authoritarian country, a totalitarian country, can go and do shit that is monstrously huge. They can just decide to do things, kind of like China. China can decide to create the biggest dam ever created and dam up, you know, some ancient rivers and create giant artificial lakes. China can go ahead and do this, and they can starve countries downstream of water. It's monstrous, it's gigantic. Totalitarian countries can do this. Tyrannies can do this. The United States is basically a tyranny also. It can also do this, okay? It wasn't always like this. You could argue there was a golden age, maybe, but I can tell you, in the last 100 years, it's been, yeah, whatever the government wants, it's going to get. You can call it eminent domain. You can call it neo-colonialism, manifest fucking destiny. I don't care what you call it, but our government is just as tyrannical. Tyrannical governments can make things happen. They can't. But here's the problem. And this is the thing, you know, if you listen to someone like a Greta Thunberg, for example, a Greta Thunberg or another one of these protesters or activists around the environment, they might be telling you some truth. Like, they might be saying something that's true. We are polluting the earth. We are killing ourselves. I think that's true. The problem is the solution they'll give you, especially at a place like Davos in Switzerland, is we need to spend more money. Now, no one meditates on this. They don't say to themselves, well, shit, Dan, let's think about this for a second. Let's say I have this plan to remediate carbon. And in mathematical terms, it will allow me to remediate, let's say, 10 units. Don't worry what a unit is now. Say it's a gigaton. Let's say I have a plan to take 100 gigatons of carbon dioxide and remove it from the atmosphere. And you'd say, Dan, that's great. That's fantastic. 100 gigatons of CO2. However, the industrial impact, economic activity, likely marital growth population models also state that the amount of money used to do this will probably generate, I don't know, a trillion tons of CO2. So I tell you, I'll take 100 billion tons and I'll remove it, but it's going to cost 10 times as much. The problem with people like Greta Thunberg, and I don't think she's real, I think she's being used, I think she's being abused actually by her parents because she's still underage. The problem with this message is they're not telling you the whole truth. They'll say things like, oh, we need to do this for the environment, and we need to float a bond. We need to have carbon credits, carbon credit trading. Well, yeah, all those things are going to create effects that completely wash out anything you're trying to do to help. Human beings have potential. You have potential, I have potential. Are we always using our potential? Probably not. I know I fuck up, I know I goof off, I know I'm not probably using my potential right now. I currently don't have a really good fucking reason to. I don't want to participate in the cronyism, because I don't think it's going to last. But even if it does last, it disgusts me. Every fucking job I can get, I'm doing something fucking stupid. It's all political correctness crap now. So basically, yeah, okay? I might be misusing my potential, but everyone has potential, right? And ultimately, it's a choice. The problem with command economies, economies where they say, holy shit, there's a crisis, let's all turn left. The problem is, you probably throughout history need a few people to turn right. Which is to say, and I don't mean this in ideological terms, although if you want to fucking translate it that way, you can. I mean that the strength of human beings is in our creativity and our ability to experiment with our potential. So in a command economy, we're going to say, oh, we're going to need 7 million tractors, 13 million color TV sets. Oh, the kids are going to love that. But then some dude comes along and says, you know what? I have a device that will cure cancer. And the master planner says, well, you know what's interesting, buddy, but currently the Department of Cancer says there is no cure. You see, the thing about command economies, my friends, is that nobody who has an idea that fits outside the lane is going to be allowed. Nobody. And here's the other terrible thing about command economies, is that with respect to the ecology, to the environment, you can do things that are also monstrous. So when people say things like, well, Dan, don't you care about the environment? Well, of course I do. Ask yourself if anything related to compounding interest correlates to nature. Anything. Mathematically, anything else. You could say, well, it does. It correlates to the growth of bacteria in a nutritional, you know, matrix. It correlates to cancer. It correlates to things. But if you really think about compound interest, what does it really correlate to? Nothing. Doesn't exist. But it is monstrous. And it cannot. And it does not have an analog in nature. So, yeah. You can say things like, I'm going to take out a loan to start a business to save the environment. And by the time you finish those sentences, you've already fucked yourself. If you misappropriate human potential, it is disastrous. People look at the Soviet Union, the period of the Soviet period, you know, let's say roughly 1917 to roughly 1993, depending upon how you decide to end the Soviet Union, whether it ends when the wall came down, or whether it ends when they encircled the communists, I think it was in Moscow in 1993, and started shooting them up. However you want to end it, you have the Soviet Union roughly for 70 years, basically. a little over 7 decades, it existed. It was around. And you can say to yourself, well, it did terrible things, and yes, it did monstrous things environmentally, but maybe the worst thing it did is we'll never know the names of the Russian scientists, we'll never know the names of the Russian engineers, we'll never know the names of the Russian men and women who would have done amazing fucking shit over that 70-year period. But instead, they lived in an economy that picked winners and losers. And you can say things like, well, Dan, wasn't there the Kalashnikov? Didn't they invent that really cool AK-47? Well, they did. And they also sent people to space. And they have a lot of cool weapons. I don't disagree that there weren't some intelligent people chosen to do some things. Although I would have you think about the things they were chosen to do. Just like with respect to the United States, especially these days, especially since 9/11, ask yourself where the money goes. Look at DARPA. What does it invest in? Is it investing in things that are expanding upon the foundational dignity of humanity? Or is DARPA investing in things that will strip away what's left of your fucking humanity? Just a question. You see, for 7 decades plus, the Soviet Union picked winners and losers. And you could say, well, Dan, I can see the damage, but you really can't. You can't see the misappropriation of potential. You can't see the damage. When people look at what the Federal Reserve is doing right now, for example, because I classify it as neo-Stalinism. Yeah, they're not picking the number of tractors. In a way, they're doing something worse. They're simply picking the value of your work at any point in time. And they're telling you that maybe yesterday you were worth more, today you're worth less, and guess what? In the future, you're going to be worth even less. And that's just the way it is. They're picking the types of things people should do, like this fucking ridiculous tulip mania around flipping houses. Anybody that thinks this will end well as the number of homeless fill the streets is on fucking crack. And yet, everywhere in America, you're told, oh, your house is an investment. Your house, that's how you're going to retire. I can promise you that if this fucking housing fetish economy continues, pretty much everybody's going to end up homeless. It's one thing to list the dead, to say how many lives were destroyed by a tyranny, but it's not often enough we think about all the possibilities of a world that didn't happen. I have mentioned this to people before, but imagine if in 1917, instead of the United States getting involved in what was a stupid fucking war, started for stupid fucking reasons, no good reasons for World War I, started by stupid fucking people, instead of getting involved in it, if we just stayed the fuck out. Imagine if we'd ignored the Tavistock Institute bullshit. Imagine if we just stayed the fuck out. In 1917, the French, the British, and the German armies were on the verge of revolt. In 1917, if nothing had happened, if the United States had not gotten involved, there's a very good chance the Germans, the French, and the British would have turned their fucking guns on their own fucking officers. And good. If that had been the outcome, a general revolt on the Western Front, many decades of world history might have been different and way better. Because perhaps the lesson we would have fucking learned is not just that war is bullshit, but we have choices we can make. We are not condemned to some tragic fate of constantly tossing our potential into the engine of militarism. We are not doomed by that. But no, that's not what happened. The Federal Reserve, you know, in 1913 made possible a giant credit card. And then good old Woodrow Wilson, racist in chief, if you don't know, good old Woodrow Wilson basically used that fucking credit card to wage a war, do what again, Woodrow Wilson, to make the world safe for democracy, to have the war to end all fucking what? End all fucking wars, huh? Yeah, that didn't really happen, Woodrow. Imagine a century following a revolt on the Western Front. Imagine a century of British and Germans and French and all the people of Europe learning to live with each other but without war. That's probably what would have happened. Yes, 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 you probably would have had a lot of dead noble people in the streets, and luckily or thankfully, or maybe if they'd been lucky, they would have, you know, in good old jolly England, they would have taken out the whole royal family during such a period. That would have been a blessing. But the bottom line is this: after that was all over, there's a very good chance the people of Europe would have said, this is bullshit. This war, this militarism is crap. And that includes the Germans. But that's not what happened. A century of human potential misdirected towards the destruction of the human race, towards the construction of financial schemes, misdirected towards every tool to root out what's noble and what's good in the human spirit. A century of total fucking waste. How do you measure that? How do you measure all the wasted potential in the United States of America today, because we're basically living in a military state? How do you measure the fact that we have spent trillions of dollars on weapons? What could we have done with that money? Better yet, wouldn't it have been better if ordinary everyday people had been given the chance to control their own fucking destiny? You want to talk about inventions or technology? Imagine the technology if we simply lived in a free world. Now, I will say this. In a free world, it's highly unlikely, all things being equal, that lots of people will do terribly stupid things for long, which means there'll be a real limit on stupidity. In a free world, it's called causality, which, you know, eventually catches up to you. But hey, if you got a central bank, you can have a big consequence box, you know, a big box of consequences that eventually fills up. In a free world, people just don't tend to do really stupid things for long. So, for example, I'm sure there would be people who would try to convince you that there's some force out there trying to kill you, and that if you don't arm up, you'll be destroyed. But I think most people will probably go, you know, I'm not worried about that right now. I'm not going to buy into your paranoia. I think most people would tend to be immune to the panic, the mad panics of fear that grip the societies that are basically built on slavery, on control. Once again, going back to this basic question, you know, do people want to be free or do people want to be told what to do? This is one of those troubling questions of my life, because if I answer this question the wrong way, personally, I'm kind of left with a big fucking nothing. Like, in my view, if the answer to the question is humans simply want to be told what to do, then not only is my existence pointless, but really, it is simply an ocean of pain. That's all that there is. There's just pain and discontent and disharmony, and people like me will never fit. We are rejects. In fact, if most people would prefer to be slaves, then I am flawed. I'm broken. But what if that's bullshit? I'm not saying people don't want to be told what to do sometimes, but what if that basic message is bullshit? What people really want to do is work together to solve problems, and what they would love to do is do so freely. What if people are more likely to solve problems without a gun pointed to their head? What if we come up with better solutions when we're not afraid? You see, these are all ways of looking at liberty. Liberty is not about embracing fear or chaos. Actually, it's the opposite. Liberty is about embracing the possibility that humans want to work together. They want to make a choice to trade with each other. They want to conduct commerce. They want to own a house, but they probably don't want to turn their home into some type of financial scheme for the same reason they wouldn't want their food or their water turned into a fucking financial scheme. Because they have common sense. Last topic. Yeah, this will be a short podcast today probably because, well, I don't know, we'll talk about the virus maybe, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever heard of, there's this weird idea out there amongst conspiracy people, and it has to do with this concept of being a targeted individual. Now, before I continue, I need to put something on the table. My name is Dan Sullivan. I am 50 years old and I am burnt out. My profession is computer programmer. My current existence and probably true vocation is drifter. You know, I'm a drifter. I admit it. I'm okay with that. I'm a drifter. And I'm okay with it. Being a drifter is okay. Drifters are often survivors because they drift. Better to be a drifter than a drowner. Better to be a drifter than a Debbie Downer. Better to be a drifter than a sifter or a grifter. Yeah, so if you've never heard of this idea, a targeted individual is some person who is currently being monitored, observed, influenced by some organization. Because again, who is doing the targeting and why? I've watched some of these videos on YouTube. It's pretty fucking vague. And before I go too much further, I don't think I'm one, a targeted individual. I don't think so. And I'm not even sure it's a real thing. Like, it could be a good example of where people are just too paranoid, you know? But here's the thing. In recent months, and specifically going back to a podcast that dealt with the Milgram experiments, and let's talk about what the Milgram experiments were about. Good old Milgram, Stanley Milgram, whatever. Good old Dr. Milgram wanted to understand how somebody like Eichmann, the Nazi architect of much of the logistics around the final solution, the death of millions of Jewish people, how someone like Eichmann could do it. And so he developed a nice little experiment where people were basically told to torture other people. And yes, 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 it wasn't real torture, but the people thought it was, and so they responded in their own human kind of way. As I mentioned in previous podcasts, Milgram's experiment is fundamentally fucked. That's not how it works. Eichmann pushed paper. Eichmann essentially was an operational manager. If he ever did see a Jewish person get killed, it was by his own choice, maybe, but he never had to. The fact is, most of the people doing heinous shit in the world, especially in the modern world, are compartmentalized. They are put in tiny little fucking boxes. I call them puzzle boxes. You're put in a puzzle box, it's got some buttons. Some of these buttons are green. Some of these buttons are red. Some of these buttons are yellow. Some of them are just white. You're put into a box and you have buttons you gotta push. And you have good things that'll happen, maybe. People are in boxes, you know? I mean, here's the thing about Eichmann. Eichmann probably knew exactly what he was doing. So that, too, is another reason why Milgram's experiment is bullshit, okay? Milgram was trying to understand, on some level, psychologically, how people could allow themselves to do terrible things. And what I'm telling you is the solution that governments came up with a long time ago is they compartmentalize you. They separate you. Yes, yes, yes. Ultimately, there's some scumbag who has to stick a knife in somebody. But considering, you know, technology at this point, a lot of people can shuffle paper around. And the net effect is someone's going to live and someone else is going to die. And those people will never, ever know. Ever. They won't know. They might just be jackasses who make some fucking device. Imagine you're a jackass who makes really cool speakers. The year is 2003, and you make really, really good high-definition audio speakers. And you get a huge order from the Department of Defense. Fuck. Fuck, they want to buy 10,000 of your speakers. Don't ask why. And I hate to break it to you, but you won't ask why. Because you're selling 10,000 speakers. This will make your business. And then you can sell another 10,000 because you'll claim they're, you know, freedom speakers. Yeah, freedom speakers. Freedom speakers. But here's the thing. Your magical speakers are going to be put into metal containers. And in those containers are going to go people who are prisoners. But not technically prisoners of war because they're not being accorded any of the Geneva Convention's protections, you know. And they're going to play Metallica and the Barney song and all kinds of other shit at, I don't know, 300 billion decibels using your specialized speakers in that metal container, and they're going to do this to people for days on end in 100 degree heat, not enough food, not enough water, plenty of light and noise, though. The thing is, though, you don't think about this because you don't know about this. You simply make a bunch of fucking speakers. Yeah, folks, the puzzle boxes we find ourselves in are partially designed so that we'll do things that normally human beings would never fucking do. We are harnessed, our freedom is harnessed into a system of games and puzzles, buttons and mazes, all of them designed to get us to do shit that under normal circumstances we would never fucking do. So getting back to targeted individuals. Here's the question I have, because it's a weird question, and it's kind of a fucked up one, especially given that I've met, you know, I've met two people who listen to me in person, who are not family. And so what I'm about to describe is fucked up because some of you, at least two of you who've met me in person, are going to say, Dan, what the fuck are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Whether or not people are being targeted is an open question. But if you look at a person's life, like look at Dan. How does Dan communicate with the world? Well, he has email, and currently I don't encrypt it. If I wanted to, I could encrypt my email. Don't ask me why I don't currently. Maybe it's because I know every fucking motherboard, every fucking chipset, every manufactured piece of silicon bullshit on my computer is currently owned. So it wouldn't matter what operating system I run, or even if I used what? Yeah. Even if I used a virtual network or something like that, ultimately everything is owned. If you want my honest opinion about every chipset in this country, if you're running a computer that was manufactured and sold in the typical, ordinary way, there is nothing you can do to protect yourself. So yeah, I have email, not encrypted. I don't really do social media, except for once in a while to fuck with people. And so in that sense, I wouldn't consider that an input-output at this point. I have SoundCloud. I talk to people on SoundCloud. There's a little chat app, and people will, you know, send me direct messages, or they'll leave comments. And so that's another way, another window that people from the outside can get into my box. So there's the email and there's the SoundCloud. And given that I've given out my mailing address to a couple people, there's that too. And a few other people have my fucking phone number. If I were to list the number of people that interact with me currently, with any real frequency, the number is less than 6, and with even a lower frequency, the number is still less than 10. So, if you wanted to control, quote-unquote, my exposure to the human race, you would only have to control a few people. And if you come back to me and say, well, Dan, you said you met some real people. Well, I did. I met a couple real people. But real people these days have real jobs. And believe it or not, there are lots of jobs where people get paid to impersonate other people. Now, do I believe that I met two impersonators? Currently, no, I don't. I don't believe they were impersonating. I don't believe they were fucking with me. But I'm trying to put this out there because you kind of have to ask the question. If you had a central bank, if you had unlimited credit card potential, if you could engineer the puzzle boxes any way you wanted to until all the fucking corn cubes are gone, because listen, the one thing you can't print are corn cubes or barrels of oil or anything that actually allows a person to eke out another day. You can't print that, but you can print money. So as long as there are corn cubes and barrels of bungus oil, you can keep printing money. Well, why wouldn't they print money and give it to people to just fuck with other people? That's their whole job in life. Why not? If I were them, if I were in charge, it seems like one of the lowest impact ways to deal with the fringe, to deal with people who might be a problem, to deal with people, I wouldn't even call them activists. I would just call them dissident voices, people that don't agree with the way things work. people who refuse to go along. Refuseniks, huh? Refuseniks, yeah. People that refuse, people that say no. Well, you don't want these people having much of a voice, do you? And so what do? Well, one way to deal with people is to keep them trapped in a box. But it can't be a box they see. Because if they see it, it's too easy for them to escape, really. Yeah, you could keep people trapped in a box. In a puzzle box. In a box where all you have are 5 or 6 inputs, a 6 buttons, and maybe some sort of a fucking chute that your food and your water comes out of, and maybe a fucking bucket that you poop and pee into. That is more or less the reality, and that's a bit of an exaggeration, but that's how a lot of people live in this country, folks. Yeah, some of these people might have condos, some of these people might be quote-unquote rich. But if you look at the panoply, if you look at the general structure and the way in which they interact with the world, if you look at how they conduct their business, you will find someone, you will find an entity that's just as trapped as any fucking monkey in any fucking cruel experiment from the 1960s. Okay, you will find someone just as trapped. They can't escape because they don't even know that they should. They don't even know they're in trouble. They don't even know that what they're doing currently is probably harming them and probably harming other people because they are in a puzzle box. They are told, the fucking telescreen tells them that they're doing great, that their bank currently funds major green enterprises. That's good news. Yeah, your bank is funding a green organization to make the world all green. That's great. Yeah, that's great. And you live in that box. And you believe it. And you're told that the company you work for is awesome. And everything your country does is right. And if your country happens to kill someone, well, they must have deserved it. You're told all these things. You're given exactly what you want to hear. 9/11 makes more and more sense when you see it from the perspective of the puzzle box. 9/11 makes more and more sense if you understand why the Milgram experiment is bullshit. Because the fact is, we could not, on any level, on September 11th, accept the possibility that our government would do something like this. They could have told us aliens had attacked. In fact, in retrospect, I think they wish they'd gone with that one. I really do. I'm sure back in 1999, there was a bunch of dudes. One of them said, "Listen, buddy, this whole terrorism thing, it's really old hat. And people are just getting sick of it. It's such a fucking cliche. But what about little gray men or little reptilians? Wouldn't that be okay? Reptilians attacked us. They blew up our buildings. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But reptilians attacked us. They blew up our fucking buildings. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Yeah, I don't know if I've been a Debbie Downer here, but I just needed to talk about some of my anxieties around this bullshit. I do not know, in my heart of hearts, if this virus thing is real yet. What is interesting is that we are seeing way more of the, how can I phrase this? The amped up propaganda than we saw in 2014 with the Ebola scare. Like back in 2014, you saw a lot of fear mongering. Of course, there were articles on Zero Hedge. Holy fuck, there's somebody in Texas with Ebola. Somebody in Georgia has Ebola. They're gonna take the cigarette cure, though. They're gonna use the tobacco vaccine, the cigarette vaccine, grown on a tobacco plant and put into a cigarette just for you. So I don't know, people. I'm in my own puzzle box, and I know this whole targeted individual thing is a little bit vague. Like, I don't know if I really handled this topic very well. I didn't even really want to talk about it because it's a paranoia of mine. It is one of my fears, you could say. I mean, you could say it's a fear. I think I told you guys I had a couple basic big fears, but I suppose we all have little fears related to our big ones. Well, I told you all, what if life is a big meaningless nothing? That's kind of my root fear. But kind of derivative of that is, what if everything happening to me in my life right now is part of a constructed narrative? Like, what if on one level I'm kind of doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing? I think I'm being rebellious. I think I'm saying no. I think I'm not participating, but in the way that I'm not participating, I'm still participating. People who claim that they are targeted individuals claim to be under constant attack. They claim to have groups of people, crowds of people. They call it crowd stalking. People that stalk them, you know, people that follow them, people that set them up. Now, I will say this, cults, you know, CULTS, cults, like, you know, the Scientology, various cults will employ people like this. And I would even say some quote unquote regular religions like Islam, you know, they've got their fucking, their grooming patrols, their fucking patrols of dudes who go around just basically raping women, and they call themselves groomers. Anyways, I think cults have a history of doing this sort of thing where they try to fucking keep people from leaving the reservation. You know, if you're thinking about leaving, better watch them, better monitor them, maybe even set them up into a trap of sorts where they can't leave. With respect to people in America, I think there are organizations, institutions that do this for a living. And some of them market themselves as being, you know, about reputation. Like saying, well, I'm in the business of protecting people's reputations. And yeah, that's a squishy term because there's a lot of fucking shit people end up doing to protect your reputation, including stalking and attacking and going after other people. Going after people who would disagree with you, who might have a different perspective than you, who might even know about, you know, skeletons in your fucking closet. So you have businesses, and their whole job in life is to just basically keep those people at bay. So why wouldn't the government spend money that it doesn't have to basically fuck with people? I don't know why they wouldn't. I don't know why they wouldn't employ people to do this. I mean, I know we like to pretend we're so fucking free in this country, but it really does seem like we're tilting towards East Germany. And there's going to come a point where, yeah, you're going to have to wonder, does my neighbor get downloads from the government every night of phone calls, text messages, and other shit of mine so they can go through them and monitor me? Are they currently getting paid a little extra to just listen to what I say? To watch what I do? To report on me? Maybe they're getting like $500 a month. That's money, folks. That's money for food, water, shelter. And if somebody had a kid and they had to stay at home, why wouldn't they take a job doing this? Monitoring their neighbors, better yet, monitoring their whole apartment building. And if your contention is, well, Americans wouldn't do that, listen, people in absurd situations that are unhealthy, and this is the real truth that Milgram didn't get. People in absurdly unhealthy scenarios will do really stupid fucking shit, even heinous shit, and not think about it till it's too fucking late. That's the truth. The truth is, people will decide to do shit before they even conceive of the fucking consequences. Holy fuck. Can you believe it that people will often do a lot of nutty shit, like, for example, communism, and then years later they think, holy fuck, if I'd only known that communism leads to this, I wouldn't have done it. But you know what? You probably knew on some level that it would lead to this, whatever this is. So yeah, are you a targeted individual? Or do you just happen to live in a puzzle box like the rest of us? You're just trapped in an input-output device constructed, created, mass-produced for America, and probably for most of the world. And you have a few inputs and a few outputs, you have a few buttons you can press. Kind of like our good friend Gus at the Eccles building, the Federal Reserve building, our good friend Gus with the repo button, the push button, QE. Jerome Powell calls down, listen, Gus, you want to get some tacos later? Well, of course I do, Jerome. Okay, Gus, do you want to get tacos later? Listen up. Listen up, Gus. If you want to get tacos later, then you are going to have to push that button. You're going to have to keep pushing it for at least 6 hours. JP Morgan wants to, yeah, they want to buy a bunch of silver and then, you know, fuck with the market a little. They need you to push that fucking button, buddy. But if you press that button, Gus, I'll take you to get tacos. There's a new place. You'll really like it. So let's go get some tacos, Gus, and keep pressing that fucking button. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, and you have taken care of your food, your water, and your shelter, you have currently purchased all of your face masks, so that when you go outside in the virus apocalypse, you won't get sick. You've taken care of enough food to have on hand because you're going to have to cover up the windows with plastic. Fuck. Not unless you want that fucking Chinese bat virus. Unless you want the Chinese snake fucking chimpanzee rat bat virus. That shit will probably make you bleed out your butthole. If you've taken care of everything, including the scenario where you start bleeding from your butthole and you still have money left over, there will be a link to Venmo and PayPal in the description of this podcast. There is a link to Venmo and PayPal on my SoundCloud homepage, and you can donate if you want to. You're not required to. If all you do is spread the news. If all you can do is spread the news, spread the good word of the Little Saigon Report. If all you can do is let your trucker friends know about me, to put posters up in the trucker bus stops, hand out posters to the crazies off of Schlimba Street, not far from 40 Blimpf. If that's all you can do, buddy, if that's all you can do for me, if that's all you can do, if that's it, then that's okay. And for Friday, what, January the 24th, 2020, happy virus Friday, or should I say virus free? How about we say this? How we settle here? Nobody go out tonight and get crabs.